Is that any better?
Now you sound muffled.
Okay, how about that?
That sounds good.
Now broadcasting the Webcomic Beacon.
All right, hello and welcome to the Webcomic Beacon, episode 167, here at, of course, webcomicbeacon.com, and we are hosted on the Rampage Network, a webcomics hosting and community site at rampagenetwork.com. I am your host, Fess, of TooManyThingsToList.com, and of course, we have Tanya Higgins with us from the Webcomic Beacon.
Exactly, from the Webcomic Beacon. Hello.
How's it going, Tanya?
It's going. It's been a rough week.
Right. I heard rumors that they filled in the valley and then you were never heard from again.
No, they didn't fill in the valley. It's snow. I don't know if that counts, but no. I've been sick, so I sound funny.
Oh, poor Tanya.
And my grandpa died yesterday.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Which isn't as funny, but yeah. It's been a sucky week. So hi, everybody. Yay.
Hello. Yes, if I will get to... my apologies. Condolences, of course. Nobody... Of course, you've probably heard that plenty by now.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good.
But, of course, we have a show to do. Show must go on.
And, show must go
yep.
on.
And for those listening, I will get to you. Especially if you just got added to my Skype, I will get to you. And I'll be calling you, and we'll be going through some call-ins today, since our previously scheduled topic has to be rescheduled, and we'll kind of for our third time actually. So we'll see if that works. So it's kind of a whatever show today, and we will be I'll be going through and taking calls. Or I'll be calling them through Skype. Of course, anybody at any time can call and leave voicemail or ask us a question through webcomicbeacon@gmail.com or dial our voicemail at 1-320-310-0922, except not during the show, because that'll just pop up on our show, and I'll have to dismiss you, of course. But to start things off, we have Denver on the line. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
And you do a comic called Tales of a Checkered Man.
Yes.
Now, please explain yourself or your comic.
Tales of a Checkered Man is a comic that I started that is in the vein. It's a strip, and it started out to be a little bit more of a gag strip, but has kind of developed into more of a serial. And it's kind of a stew of old adventure comics, like say The Phantom or Terry and the Pirates, or those more Golden Age, you know, feel. To those sort of serial strips, and but with some humor. I had a reader describe it as if Charlie Brown were a masked vigilante, because our main character is someone who is going through a midlife crisis, and fighting crime is apparently the way he's going to deal with that.
No, of
he's complete.
You do what you gotta do.
You're right, exactly. And he's completely inept, and he is afraid of heights, so sitting on the rooftops and patrolling for crime is really... You didn't really think this thing out very well.
See? Spur of the moment. I'd just go with dating a blonde and getting the convertible. It's probably less dangerous.
So.
Well, alrighty.
But, I guess that's it in a nutshell.
No, this is me in a nutshell. Help! I'm in a nutshell! How did I get into this nutshell? Look at the size of this bloody great big nutshell. What sort of shell has a nut like this? I mean, this is crazy.
Oh, no, I'm just kidding. No,
right.
I always think of that whenever I hear that phrase. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
So I think you actually emailed the Webcomic Beacon fairly Did you email us recently with something? Because I remember
Yeah, I did, yeah. All right. I just run across you guys while poking around on the internet not too long ago. So I'm not, unfortunately, I'm not a long-time follower, but I did, it has gotten me through some work days.
Yay! That's what we're here for.
Yeah.
That is what we're here for.
Superheroes in our own right.
Right.
Less there you hype.
Go. Wow, that sounds a lot more noble now that you say it like that.
And doesn't it, though?
Yeah. Well, awesome. So let's see here. So how old is this comic? When did you start doing it? And was there anything before this?
As a web comic, it just started last April. So I'm coming up on my 1 year anniversary as far as it's concerned.
Okay.
But it has existed previously in several different forms. I believe the first mini book we put out was like 1998. So it's lived in various different incarnations since then.
Okay. And did you have any? Like, what's your, because this, I mean, I'm looking at the art, it looks like you definitely have some, yes, I know what I'm doing, behind that. So what's, did you go to school at all, or how did you get to your style is now?
I went to several different schools and never stayed too long at either, any of them. I do not have, like, say, a illustration degree or so on and so forth, but I took some college. But when I was doing that, there was comic art, and that was still wasn't as in vogue as it is now. I mean, stuff like SCAD and whatnot wasn't around. For me to dive into. So I would show a portfolio and you'd get a fine arts professor that would, you know, curl up their nose and gawk.
Of course.
So a lot of the stuff I did was kind of slogging around conventions and talking to other comic artists and other cartoonists and just kind of taking what they had to say to heart.
Okay.
And I really can't promote that idea enough.
Yeah, it was. There was a gentleman by the name of Brian Douglas Ahern who did the comic strip Bumpkin Buzz for the Comic Buyer's Guide, I believe. And he worked for Wizard back when it had a print.
For Wizard when they were relevant. Awesome.
Yeah, actually, yeah, it's true. And who I discovered at the Chicago Comic Con before Wizard took it over.
Yeah.
And he lived not too far away from me, actually. So he ended up being a really great resource in helping me develop, you know, as a cartoonist, which was pretty cool.
Oh, awesome.
It really is amazing the time and energy and frustration you can save just by sitting down with somebody who knows what they're doing for half an hour, you know, kind of soaking that in.
One of my favorites was Steve Rude. Who was really super, despite his last name, was really super nice. And was those little things. I mean, you know, approaching someone who you admire and waiting for them to completely destroy you and have them really point out some, you know, strengths as well as, you know, constructive criticism. Criticism is a great way to grow.
Yeah. And I've yet to meet anyone who was as intimidating as I feared they would be. Most of the comic people that I've talked to have been actually really helpful and really nice and quite willing to go out of their way to help people out. So don't be afraid to approach people that you admire. They're normally very nice. Otherwise, they don't get very far.
And just hopefully, it's.
I was going to say, just don't bombard them and you know, it's all about your presentation of yourself too. I mean, you know.
Well, don't be a jerk.
Don't be a jerk.
And no stalking.
Oh, God, no stalking. Don't be one of those people that stares at a table for an hour before you go up and talk to them. Creepy. We don't like... Okay? Creepy. Don't be creepy.
Well, alrighty. Well, Denver, I do thank you for coming on the show. Last minute, of course. And no pimping your wares. And of course, this is, you can check out his comic at thecheckeredman.com. And the art's pretty cool looking. And I'll be adding this to my bookmarks. Thanks for coming on the show.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. See ya.
All right. Bye.
All right. So far, so good. That is our first caller. We're going to be grabbing another caller here in just a moment. So let's try to start this. All right. We have Seth on the show with us. And he has a webcomic at BIBP.com. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Alrighty. And let's see here. Let's open that up. Buddies in Big Places. All right. can you tell us a bit about what Buddies in Big Places is?
It's kind of a stream of consciousness soap opera. I just get inspired to do these things. I essentially just started the comic on a whim, and I decided, well, you know, I have all these weird ideas in my head whenever I dream, so I might as well just put them down. So originally I thought, okay, I'll just get bored with it, but then I just kept going and going, and I found out, well, I can actually draw this pretty quickly, and soon, you know, I just had maybe about 200 comics, and then eventually I had 1,000, and then 3,000, and kept going. So the currently airing story I drew several years ago, so you can kind of get the idea going on here.
Okay.
So it's very odd. It's got a lot of things. It's got a lot of different genres within it, but that's why I call it a soap opera. It runs in a sort of round robin plot, if you will. And it's a real hobby comic. I guess I just do it for fun. That's why you don't really see ads on the site. It's, you know, got a very niche audience. It's just really a lot of fun.
So you're saying you drew all this before you made it a webcomic? Or that you're drawing ahead of when it updates, like, a lot?
Yes, I'm drawing ahead of when it updates a lot. I ended up, because of the way I produce it, it ended up being a very streamlined method. I have these pre-printed sheets on which I draw the comics, and they're actually very small. I fit about 4 strips onto a letter-sized sheet of paper. So I use ordinary letter paper, you know, laser-printed, pre-printed sheets. And I change the year every so often. And I found I was able to get, you know, in about 3 or 4 hours, I could get 28 strips done.
Wow.
Because it's just line art. And I draw everything directly on it by pen. And it's very relaxing to do.
It's therapy. And an addiction.
Admittedly, yeah. Well, one of the things it does reduce stress from my day job and things like that. I have a lot of things that go on. I have a lot of things on my plate. So it feels good to take, you know, a couple hours every, you know, every 2 or 3 days and draw something. And I decided to do the comic, have it updated in a sort of a real-time fashion where whatever's going on in the strip is happening in the calendar year of what the file name is. So I ended up with a huge buffer. I mean, I have years and years of strips, and I've just kept going. And the surprising thing is that the number of fans I've gotten, it's taught me a whole lot about writing stories, too. First and foremost, it's a comic I've written for myself, so it's not really something where I understand how to write for an audience. I'm not really that kind of a person, but I do... you know, I have actually gained quite a few fans, and there are a number of people I've met. Some of my best friends today have met because of the comic. It's really astounding to me.
Huh. Already, I think we might have lost Tanya. Well, we did lose Tanya. Oh, crap. So we'll try to get Tanya back. She had to text me, actually. Oh, wow. She was on vocal in a blue screen of death to her.
Ooh.
And well, we'll try to get her back. Some people are reporting they're having some trouble with vocal, of course. They're still in beta, And it might have been because she might have also been on Ustream. I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully we'll get her back. But but Seth, yeah, it's you've hit on a lot of the part of webcomics where people will do it because they want to, as a hobby, not because, you know, there's other people out there that are, you know, they're angling to get into the professional field and getting paid. But of course, that's beneath us, isn't it? Just getting paid to do webcomics?
Well, I do that too. I actually have gotten commissions to do another webcomic, so I'm the designated artist for a small comic called Unconventional, okay. And I get commissions from time to time in order to draw the art for it. I don't have any problem with making money on a webcomic. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, I think as long as you enjoy it, as long as you do it in such a way that you don't burn out, mm-hmm. you'll be just fine.
Absolutely. Yeah, a lot of people, you know, will end up dealing with that burnout and going on that, you know, that H word. But it sounds pretty good. What's the link to that other comic that you're also working on?
It should be unconventional.smackjeeves.com. I've done guest spots elsewhere. I guess I've got my work quite around a few places.
Okay. Commissions is certainly another route that just will pop up for some people in a wide variety of skills and styles. You know, it can come from anywhere. So that's always really good when you can land those and people will say, hey, I think your stuff is good. Will you draw this? You know, mm-hmm. always great. Let's see here. Did you have any art go to school for art or anything like that, or you just kind of just started?
I just started. It's kind of an odd sort of journey to this point in terms of, for, you know, I mean, I had a couple of art classes in high school. I just had a general education. I went to college for geography. All three of my degrees are in geography.
Okay.
This is just something I'd always enjoyed doing as a child. I mean, I even enjoyed making comics when I was young. None of the comics exist anymore. I think I've lost them. I think I've given a couple to people, but I enjoyed doing that a little bit. And then I guess right when grad school started, I just had this idea, you know, maybe I should just start a comic. And it was kind of just a coin toss to whether it would be a comic with furries or humans. Mm-hmm. In the end, I'm actually very glad that I chose to do it with furries, because there are certain stories that you really can't do with humans, if only for the social-political implications. I mean, it's certain things you really can't do that way. I also find that because I'm doing the comic with furries, it actually allows me to make my own geography, and therefore I can create my own setting. I really love creating my own setting. So on my comic site, you would actually find reference materials for it, usually right under the title bar, just to orient you to how the country, how the setting works, how the world works. Totally unique geography and everything like that.
Well, that doesn't always stop other people from doing their own alt-universe, alt-Earth thing anyway, but...
Yeah,
I do a furry and human comic because why? Because I wanted to, and everyone's asking me, well, give me a reason. Why are there humans and furries together? Blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, I want my world just to be the way I want it. You know, why do I have to explain it? I picked humans and furries because I wanted to be able to do crossovers and cameos with any comic that was out there.
That is pretty awesome, though. Actually, of the unconventional comic is furry and human.
Okay, cool. I'll get Buddies in Big Places and the other comic and or show notes as well. So hopefully people can go check those out. Seth, thanks very much for coming on the show.
Oh, not a problem. Thank you very much for having me.
All right, good luck.
Thank you.
All right, we're cranking through these kind of. And so we've had Seth on the show. We've had Denver on the show.
Denver.
And let's see, who are we going to pick next to come on the show?
Russian roulette, but with audio.
Book? Well, kind of. We are going to... Let's see here. I have suggestions for today's show. All right. I think I will bring in... ready? Let's bring him in. Just because... Taking a chance. I got that song by ABBA in my head now. Do you know that song?
Taking a Chance?
Yep.
Is that the actual name of the song?
No.
I was I'm pretty sure.
Take a chance, take a chance, take a chance, take a chance.
Okay.
Take a chance on me.
Between Vaudeville and Drag Reviews, I've heard every ABBA song ever created.
All right, now we have...
Unfortunately, my Skype name does not match that. I apologize for that.
All right, so what do you go by?
Cayen. C-A-Y-E-N.
C-A-Y... All right, Cayen. Welcome to the show. How's it going?
Pretty good.
All right, now you said you do a small webcomic. I don't have a link for it. Do you have a link for it? Oh, wait, yes, it was toc.thecomicseries.com.
Correct.
So people can check it out. Tides of Change. So tell us what this is all about.
It is a very, very long comic. Basically, it is about a character that's a demon and just absolutely just does not want anything to do with humans, and it's just an evil character, and you're watching him slowly change from a character that you hate to a character that begins to recognize his own failings. Mm-hmm. So okay. it basically it came about as a thought experiment I did one time of, you know, if an angel can fall, can a devil rise?
Ah. That's an interesting take.
So there, if you go there, there's actually two separate stories going on. There's Tides of Change, and then there's The Dragon Rider. And they're both actually different parts of the same series.
Okay. Like parallel stories that may eventually meet, sort of thing?
One is happening in the past, and that is Tides of Change proper. And then The Dragon Rider is set in the future. But they're part of the same timeline.
Okay. Despite being, you know, a whole a series of years away from each other.
Correct. And some of the stuff that happens in The Dragon Rider affects what happens in the past. There's some time manipulation that happens between the two of them. But really, okay. It's... this one guy changing is what it's about. So, okay.
Yeah, I think I recognize as soon as I clicked back a few, there's like, oh wait, yeah, this one, yeah, because when I first, because you have art on it, and it's like, you know, the name sounds familiar. This doesn't look like, I don't recognize this. What is this? But yeah, oh yeah, because I had recently done a heartbreak sketch for one of your characters recently.
Yes, you did that of Nil.
Yep, yeah, cute little Nil.
And I absolutely adored that picture because that captured her personality perfectly. Because she's more childlike and all this, so
mm-hmm.
I loved it.
Excellent. I'm still trying to crank out the rest of them that I owe. But yeah, I'm feeling like a really kind of an asshole for making some of these characters look so like I did it to them.
Oh no! That is when I got the picture. I was looking at it. I'm like, that is totally how she would react. That's amazing.
Well, there's only so many ways to draw someone heartbroken, and some of them I think I hit on a little bit better than others. So you also have a DeviantArt page. And you got some art going on there. Where did you start? Did you start on DeviantArt and then started doing a comic, or?
Actually, I started doing the comic first way, way back in like 2003, 2002.
Okay.
And some things happened in my personal life, and I've been on and off since then. And at one point I created the DeviantArt account, and then I ignored the DeviantArt account because I forget to update the DeviantArt account.
But yeah, it really needs to remind you, like every 3 days, just send you an email and say, yeah, you're ignoring me.
Have you updated?
Yeah.
But yeah, basically I look at my comic, it updates daily, but for me it's more of a, I'm learning. You know, I'm using this to learn to make comics. Mm-hmm. So I'm not expecting too much out of it. I'm doing it mostly for my own enjoyment. But I want to learn.
Okay.
And I'll tell you, man, I have been learning, you know, sitting down and really learning a lot about the language of comics. Because you can't look at it as pictures. You have to look at it as you're learning an entire language of using pictures to convey thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, that's a pretty hard thing to learn.
Yeah, especially if somebody comes from more of a, like a writer background, and you realize, I'm sorry, I'm picking on somebody I work with who doesn't didn't really write well for comics, and I had to change things. It's like, you don't have to say all those words. But yeah.
I'm more of an artist, but I have an obsession with how people talk. Like, I read some comics, and it's like, you know, oh, he said this, and then she said this, and then she said this, and you're reading it, and you're like, I don't hear a real human saying that. Like, all the people that I have ever talked to in my life, and I've talked to a lot of people, would say things that, one, would just make you cry. Because it's incredibly dumb at times. And then other times it's like, that is so brilliant, and I don't know if you meant it to sound like that.
You got a mixed bag out there.
That dialogue is difficult.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I've learned animation, so when I come into drawing, I'm thinking more of an animation. How can the expressions tell what people are thinking? And I've also been really examining how animation builds characters and applying that to the comic art.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's why I'm getting a very different look to my style.
Okay. Well, alrighty. Well, it looks really cute, and it's in my bookmarks to watch. As long as I'm not being thrown off by, oh wait, that's just. You know, that's extra art. Oh, okay. So, all right, you can check out Tides of Change at toc.thecomicseries.com. KM, thanks very much for coming on the show with us.
Pleasure being on.
All right.
Thank you.
We'll catch you later then. All right. We're going to go to break real quick because I am just about to run out of recording space. So we're going to go to break. And when we come back, we're going to have more call-ins.
The Webcomic Beacon is hosted on the Rampage Network, a webcomics host and community at rampagenetwork.com. And don't forget, we broadcast live on Sundays at webcomicbeacon.com/live. Join our live chat room, have news reports or Becky art, transmit them to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. Questions? Dial our voicemail at 1-320-310-0922. And now, back to our show.
Let's see if we can get this going once again. And of course, we are back. This is the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com. We have weekly episodes of the Webcomic Beacon, at least of the newscast now, which is at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And for most of the Sundays, we tend to have a core programming, usually a topical, something of a topic, revolving around webcomics or comic creation at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. Second Sunday of the month, we are doing Tropecasts with Adam Smithy of the Apple of Discord and Alex Heberling and Jules Rivera. Alex Heberling is of alexesguide.net. Jules Rivera is of valkyriesquadron.com. They are the main core hosts of the Tropecast. And let's see, of course, Ross Scott of The System at systemcomic.com is the lead host on and director of the newscast. And Eric, a.k.a. Dromos of EXIERN.com, is our news hound for the newscast. And Alex Heberling is on that, as well as Mark Savory, our normal other co-host, which is not here with us today because of a scheduling kerfuffle. But you can find all of that and more at webcomicbeacon.com, as well as knowing how to advertise on one of our episodes at webcomicbeacon.com/advertise. Feel free to sponsor an episode, as in... we appreciate that very much, and it helps us with advertising, and of course, getting ourselves to PenguinCon, a convention of many geek of sorts. At check it out at penguincon.org. Most of the Webcomic Beacon staff is going to be there, except for maybe Ross Scott, Jules, and Eric. Alex and Adam and myself and Tanya and Mark, and we should all be there. Good times had by all.
Indeed.
Online.
We have plans.
I guess this person isn't picking up. Oh, they didn't pick up. I'm going to send them around. Oops.
Plans that involve nurse outfits and general mayhem.
Of which I approve, and I'm supposedly supposed to be put into a corset at this juncture as well.
I know, I'm so excited.
I don't know if I should get my measurements to you or something or what, but we shall see what happens.
Yeah, well you know, because the simple one, so it won't be the full corset experience, but should be close enough. And Steven can get into it, so if he can get into it, you can get into it.
Alrighty. we're going to add somebody to our show, and I don't have I don't have the screen name of which he possibly goes by, so once we get him on the show, we're going to say, hey, how's it going? What's up?
Person.
Hi, how's it going?
Hi, how's it going? What's your name?
This is John.
This is John. It is John. I didn't want to assume that your screen name was you.
Yeah. No, it's my name's John, and I run Flopside Comics.
Alrighty. And that's, of course, at flopsidecomics.com for those listening. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So,
I appreciate it.
No problem. Tell us about your comic. Tell us.
I keep hearing everyone else's comics, and it's pretty much just about video games and comics. It's just a guy and a girl. You know, everyone else has like this dragon and this guy's fighting this. I just have people talking about video games. That's pretty much what it's at.
No, that's good. It makes for a quick pitch.
Yeah. It's pretty much, that's
it's
it.
It's easy
that's...
at conventions.
Yep.
Guy, girl, just video games,
guy
comics.
And girl.
Yeah.
Talking about video games. Now,
gaming, that's about it.
We're going to have to go into, okay, how is this different from other video game webcomics for a couple of guys? I don't mean to pick on you.
Oh,
course.
No, I know. I get that a lot. It's, you know, the difference is just my voice. You know what I mean? Like the way I interpret the jokes and pretty much that. I mean, it's if you like my style more than any other out, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's not, you know, I won't have. You know, I won't have a panda attacking someone or something like that. Like, I'm not going to just blatantly go for...
Like on PvP.
He's exactly,
panda,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, nobody can be PvP, of course.
Right, of course. Yeah, and I'm sure if I did go that way, they would... You know, Scott Kurtz would automatically target me for that, so...
I don't know. There's a lot of traffic to be had in that situation, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do not start play wars with Scott Kurtz.
No,
just
no
don't.
I wouldn't want
to. I don't know. I wouldn't mind trying to poke the beehive. I really
I would
wouldn't.
Just like to say congratulations for the only honest answer I've ever gotten to what makes your gamer comic different than others. Oh, I write different. Like, that's perfect. That's absolutely perfect.
That's pretty much really, I mean, you can't really go much different. Like, it's going to go the same formula, but it's just the different writing, you know. It's what you want to say about whatever game or whatever you feel about a certain topic. That's about it, really.
I just clicked back and I found one with Mario playing with Luigi, a game of Guess Who. yeah, that one, that's what I was laughing about. Is it a guy or a girl? It's a guy. Does he have facial hair? Yeah. It's a me, Mario.
I'm glad you liked it.
Let's see. How long ago did you start this?
Actually, it's relatively new. I started it in October.
Okay.
So I'm relatively new to the game, but I've always wanted to do it some way. You know, I don't want to either way. I wanted to write for comics, or you know, I was always interested in webcomics, so I figured getting into webcomics would be the best beginning, at least.
Yeah, at least a beginning, a non-pain, very hard trouble, a very hard path ahead beginning. But I right. encourage it totally.
Right. Well, you know, it's either that or you know, try to contact an artist because you're writing a 28-page script that no one wants to read. That's
yeah. Right, right. And the best thing for trying to get an artist is to make sure that you can come up with money up front for work. That usually helps.
Right. Which is kind of hard when you're poor.
Right, right. You know. The many it's a common story.
Or sex.
I'm sorry, what was that? Tanya, you blinked out. Yeah. I just heard sex. What?
Yeah, all I heard was sex. That's all.
Yeah, I said it's either cash or sex. You got to barter with something. So
yeah, and they're usually, you know, they're usually 28-year-old guys, so the sex part isn't really going to work for me, but
well, we're not talking about if it'd work for you. We're talking about if it'd work for them.
That's so, yeah. It's all about that.
How badly do you want an artist? That's what it all comes down to.
But that's a topic for another episode, whoring yourself out. We might have already had an episode like that. We might have. Or you know, it probably was just brought up a lot of times. knowing this show. Well, all yeah. right, we're actually getting a lot of people that want to be on the show and call-ins, so I'm gonna expedite everything and try to get more people on the show, because I don't know when this will happen again. But Adam, you know, you got thanks for coming on the show.
Yep, no problem.
Thanks for calling in, and of course you can check out Flopside at flopsidecomics.com.
Wasn't it John?
Thanks again.
Was it John? Did I say
it
Adam?
Was John, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Flip, but
sorry, John. John, I'm sorry. Thanks once again for problem. Coming on the show, and good luck.
All right, thanks again.
Bye bye.
Bye.
All right.
He was gonna be all polite, let it go. No, I dredge it up.
Move a person from this. Why did I think Adam? All right, I'm just gonna pull this person in and see what happens. Because it's that type of show this time. We haven't had a spectacular failure show for a while, but we'll see.
True.
We'll see if we can salvage something out of this. Hello, Kai.
Hi.
Hello. How's it going? You're on the Webcomic Beacon.
Too bad. How are you guys? Good, good.
Doing all right. I'm not entirely sure if you do a comic or if you're just a reader, though.
Sorry about that. Some technical problems.
Oh, sorry. So, are you a webcomic creator, an author, or are you just a reader? Or
I'm actually a really big reader right now. I've done some attempts at webcomics, but haven't gotten very far.
Okay.
So, I've mainly just been doing a lot of writing nowadays.
Okay.
Huh.
And you got a Tumblr here. I'm gonna plug. You're at kaihennig@tumblr.com, if I'm saying that correctly.
Yeah, almost. It's Hennig, actually.
Hennig. I thought I said that.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Sorry, that's a bad joke.
Ugh, that was.
I know, but that's, you know, how I roll. Bad jokes. And, all right, so you're a big webcomic reader.
Yes.
And you said you tried some webcomics yourself, and I'm going to guess on the writing angle, or did you try drawing them yourself?
I actually have a friend who's an illustrator, and we both teamed up to do a webcomic that was called Coffee Zombies.
Okay.
Where yes. It was the two of us who were both writing it. She was illustrating it. Because she also has a couple of series of her own. And it was based off of just random adventures that the two of us had. And it was kind of one of those things where you start it and you had these great ideas, but it just never launched itself. due to like scheduling conflicts and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it started when we were hanging out at Borders, and she knocked over a series of books onto the floor, and then it just grew from the idea of what if there was no coffee in the world, because everyone runs on coffee nowadays. And there's this Bureau of TEA that no one knows anything about. They're trying to control and take over the world now that there's essentially no baristas or anything.
Okay.
Okay.
And through this process, you know, the world starts turning into zombies and nothing is surviving without this kind of element into the society. So unfortunately, that didn't work out, but...
Yeah, a lot of webcomics, that's what happens.
Yep,
there's
yep.
some sort of conflict or, you know, life occurs. Life occurs a lot. and then they just sort of disappear or never really start.
Right.
Yeah.
As a big webcomic reader, you contacted me on, because, you know, I had no show for today. You said you had some ideas or some suggestions, or what would you like to say, since, you know, we don't have just readers on the show too often, so.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm sorry that you guys' topic fell through, but, you know, it's awesome hearing from other people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was kind of thinking of, like, different, possibly, I don't know if you guys have a list or not, of different suggestions, but I have this webcomic I would like to suggest to other readers.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
If no one's heard about it, it's called Door Toilet Genie.
Oh yes, Toilet Genie. drawn by Carrie something.
Yes.
Story of the Door is. Let's see if I can find what the Toilet Genie. I'll find the link.
oh, I can send it right here.
Huh.
Oh, where is it? Oh, there it is. Storyofthedoor.com. Yes, I've actually sold a couple of her books at conventions I've been to, and it's watercolor. I think it's real watercolor, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think we brought it up a couple of times on the show before. Very cool webcomic. I liked the first chapter a lot, actually. I've tried to get her on the show before, but things just haven't worked out. At least I tried to get her on the Rampage Network podcast, but I don't do that anymore right now, so.
Yeah, I mean, I would just like to point this out to other readers and things like that, because it's a great series that just started, especially for those who are really into serious illustration or into serious art, because even though it is online, she has an amazing talent. And the watercolors are something you really don't see that often when you're looking at comics, because usually it's mostly Photoshop and it's all digital coloring and things like that.
There is a variety, but I have noticed a few more watercolor or watercolor-esque, like done digitally watercolor. So that style is certainly seems, either I'm just noticing it more or it seems to be becoming a little bit more popular these days. Somebody has also posted in the chat room... Paranatural, which is on drunkduck.com, and I think another website, which is, I believe it's also done in watercolor, which is a really cool looking webcomic, actually. We'll get that in the show notes as well. Oh, that's his webcomic. He's plugging it himself. So, anyway, yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, I just wanted to point that out because I think it's really great because I've been reading comics since... Lord knows I was 12 or so. And you're just seeing like this recent outburst of like new different styles and things that people are, you know, approaching that they hadn't thought of. Because you see a lot of sketch line comics and things like that, but watercolor is something kind of new that I've seen, you know, start up nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if anyone's looking for a really interesting webcomic that has a very twisted and angled storyline that they want to be confused and, you know, go through the different layers and things. That's a great read.
Cool.
Excellent. And I guess that's what this show is about, pimping stuff. So we'll certainly get that in the show notes as well. Kai, I do want to thank you for calling in.
And, yeah, thank you guys.
And I hope
you love listening.
Awesome. I love hearing that. because I know that people out there are enjoying this.
Well, I actually, I heard of the show through Gina, who draws Red Strings.
Mm-hmm. She's been on the show a couple times.
Gina Biggs.
Yeah, and everyone that's attached to the Strawberry Comics.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting because most of the writers and the webcomic artists I know are all on the East Coast.
Mm.
I'm on the West Coast over here. So it's really cool getting connected to other information, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, good.
Well, awesome. Well, I hope you continue to enjoy the show. I hope you continue finding good webcomics. And, of course, you can find Kai at Kai Hennig at .tumblr.com. We'll get it in the show notes. thanks once again for calling, and we'll see you later.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. All right. All right. And let's see. Let's move on to the next person. We have somebody I'm skipping because they did not reply. They're not there. Yet they are there. I don't know. All right.
We need to do this like chat roulette. So like every sixth caller needs to just say junk and then hang up so that we'll have our random junkage.
No. All right. We're going to pull somebody on. Hopefully they're by their computer. I would hope they're by their computer. And we'll see if we can get the next person on.
Hello.
All right.
Hey, do you mind pulling up my co-author, Allegra Clark?
What's the Skype?
Allegra Clark, that's
there it is.
Celeste Star.
Got it. Well, she was going to be
there
next.
There she is.
All right, killing two birds with one stone with this call. We got Kelsey Norden and Allegra Clark on the show with us, and they do a comic called The Jupiter Palladium. Palladium?
Palladium.
Palladium. They got something. They got something, and we'll get the link in the show notes. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hi.
Thank you.
All right, so you got Jupiter Palladium and jupiter-palladium.com. So tell us, what is this about?
Allie, do you want to take this over?
Sure, I can. Well, Jupiter Palladium is a superhero comic in a nutshell. But basically, it's about a team of superheroes that are basically starting up in this city called Port Jupiter, which is a fictionalized version of Jupiter, Florida. And they are trying to solve this mystery about all of these people who are going missing in Port Jupiter. And Angel, their leader, thinks that this major superhuman gang member named Damien Voss is behind it. Basically, what I think is really cool about the comic is that it takes place in a universe where superhumans are kind of a genetic existence. That, you know, basically anyone you meet could have a superpower, or they might not. You know, it's kind of a anything could happen kind of thing. And there's a whole kind of political, like, are you a superhuman or are you not? Like, there was a huge superhuman rights movement, like, that basically a lot of the old anti-human, superhuman laws got, like, were destroyed only a couple years before the comic starts. So it's a superhuman story with, like, kind of with a twist. And right now we're kind of getting started, but it's going very strong and we're all very happy.
The funny thing is that we're hardly into this comic at all. Like, we've been doing this less than a year. We've been working on the story for 7 years, though.
Okay.
It started as an old role play that we did. We started about 7 years ago now. And,
based on Teen Titans.
Yeah, based on Teen Titans, because we were that nerdy. We were teenagers.
Hey, I still watch Teen Titans.
We kind of adore the show, but we had this story going on for a while, and then a couple years ago I was like, you know, we could turn this into a real story that has absolutely nothing with Teen Titans. So, you know, that's where the whole superhumans being like kind of a genetic subgroup of humanity thing started up, and we kind of built this world around the characters that we'd previously created for this role play. So it's fun.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, alrighty. So you're working on this together. I might have missed it. Who does what?
Okay, there are four of us.
Four.
I draw.
Okay.
I'm the artist, and I made the website.
I'm the artist. I made the website. It was me.
Yeah, except I'm the artist, except Allie is the one who basically, like, puts everything under control or something. We call her the god.
Mainly it's because I'm a manipulative, horrible person, but, you know.
Oh, me too.
Yay.
Yeah.
We're all in charge of writing and producing content, but I'm the person who actually makes the post each, basically post the new comic up each twice a week. We update on Mondays and Thursdays, mainly because I was the one who ended up sitting down and saying, yo, how do we make this different? Like, where does this universe come from? And mm-hmm. I kind of wrote everything. And so they put me in charge of it.
Did you have an idea? And it kept going?
Capital I.
So we were just like, go.
So every once in a while I'll be like, so I want to change something, and they're like, okay, go ahead, like, you do that.
Like,
<you're magic. laughs>
like when we changed the name, that was a big one.
I forced people to change a name that has existed for the past 7 years. It was quite a coup, but for the best.
Sometimes,
I think
sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do. Yep.
You know, decisions that were made when we were like, you know, 13.
Yeah, these pretty bad decisions.
What was the original name again?
Oh no, we the character actually hasn't been introduced yet, so we can't actually say anything. But
secret.
Can you say what the original name was?
The original name of the comic, we originally called it Millennium Titans, and then we had
The original name of the that name change. Oh yeah,
there's been more than one
name changes.
True Overlord fashion.
Yeah. I forgot which thing we changed. I'd make everyone change.
We had a lot of name changes.
Yeah. The character I mentioned, her name was originally Oni, but then I was like, that doesn't make any sense anymore. We changed her so much that, like, it's not, doesn't actually make any sense. So let's just change it. Let's make it better. And we did. And I'm excited for when this character is actually introduced, because the character has not been introduced yet. Ooh.
I'm excited to draw it.
Oh, yeah.
All right. What kind of... I'm looking at the coloring. I can't guess what the coloring is. How do you color it?
I use Photoshop. I use Photoshop for everything. Photoshop is my best friend.
Are you using filters or any special brushes?
No. I use a lot of texture overlays.
Texture, okay.
But I also just use the pencil tool mostly, and then I have a couple airbrushes that I flip between. Hmm. But it's mostly the pencil tool.
Okay. because I was noticing. Well, yeah, texture overlays, that makes more sense as me looking at this. But yeah, I was just kind of curious, and there it looks pretty cool, and it's in my bookmarks now.
Awesome! Thank you.
I'm excited.
I'm super excited. We're updating tonight. I actually already set up the post, so I don't have to worry about it anymore.
Well, already. Well, already. Well, Allegra and Kelsey, thanks very much for coming on this episode of the Webcomic Beacon.
Yeah, thank you so much
for having us.
And of course, good luck in the future endeavors of your comic.
Thank you very much.
All right. See you guys later.
See ya.
Bye.
And of course, you can check that out at Jupiter-Palladium.com. Sorry, we'll get
Palladium.
That. Palladium. Darn it.
Palladium.
We'll get that in the show notes. We gotta take another quick break. And we'll be right back.
I used to be the biggest loser. I never could do anything right. I wet the bed till I was 14. Could never hold my own in a fight. But suddenly everything got changed. My whole life story rearranged. And all my friends, they think that I'm deranged, but they don't understand the godly powers that I've gained. I got Photoshop and I just can't stop. I just copy, paste, and I drag and drop, and everything in my life seems so much better.
Oh, that fateful day at Comp USA, I was picking up a copy of GTA. And they were having a 2-for-1 special if you bought them together. I got all A's on my report card, at least the one I showed my dad. Here's a note from Cameron Diaz, saying I'm the best she's ever had. I got the girl of my dreams, to finally break up with Eugene. When she saw those pictures so obscene of Eugene all tied up in bed with her dear old Aunt Eileen. I got Photoshop and I just can't stop. I just copy, paste, and I drag and drop. And everything in my life seems so much better. Making fake IDs now is such a breeze. Just a couple clicks and I'm 23. Oh, and look, here's a picture of me with my friend Eddie Vedder. Shouldn't be a mystery that I'll go down in history as one of the most famous photoshoppers of our century. But I'm just hoping nobody could possibly be onto me while I'm still alive and kicking, cause they'll haul me off to jail. Then I'll go on regrettably to work for a federal agency, helping pigs in suits with cracking down on other forgeries. And when I'm finished up in there, they'll strap me to an electric chair to serve as an example to you newbies everywhere. The Green Day concert's all sold out now, but I just got a backstage pass. And here's my brand new SAT scores. The College Board can kiss my ass. And here's my check from MTV. And it's all made out to me. And it'll probably take an eternity before accounting finds out that I'm not an employee. I got Photoshop and I just can't stop. I just copy, paste, and I drag and drop. And everything in my life seems so much better. Like this girl I date thinks I'm 28. Little does she know that I'm jailbait. And she even thinks I'm certified to forecast the weather.
That was Photoshop by Bob Rickey, if I'm saying that right, found at The Funny Music Project at thefump.com.
You know, I think the side effect to the show is that I now feel 112. Holy crap. Like, it's been decades, plural, since I was 12.
Well, you don't think about it like that.
Oh, I do.
See, I mean, for me, it was like 5 years ago when I was 12, or that's what it feels like. At least my maturity hasn't gotten that much farther anyway.
Yeah. I think the whole married children mortgage thing probably moved that along.
That grown-up stuff.
The grown-up stuff.
Responsibility. We did have a question in the chat room. Somebody asked about, I think, something about doing a comic or doing a cover for us. Basically, I don't think I've turned down any Becky art as a cover at all. I have a couple that I'm going to be using first for this episode. Somebody that had sent something a long time ago, a few months ago, I'm finally going to be able to use it because we've had guests, and when we've had guests on the show that draw Becky, we'll use it for that episode. This person hasn't had hers on. I think it is on our art page. I might have just decided, you know what, I'm going to stick it up on our art page, and then I'll just eventually get to it. And no, I haven't done that yet, but I will do it. Yeah, I'm a little sick. We have Lee Parker now on the show. How's Hello. It going? Hello.
Oh, hey, what's going on?
All right. We have a webcomic?
Yes, I do.
Where can we find it?
All right, let me go ahead and Go ahead and give me a second. I can get that answer for you. Sorry, I'm in the middle of something right now, but almost done.
Sorry. All right.
Okay, it is at lpcomics.com.
All right. It looks like, is this a Tumblr?
I'm sorry?
Is this a Tumblr site?
No, it's a WordPress site.
That's a WordPress
site. I don't quite know how to use Comic Press, so I'm kind of keeping it simple for now.
Actually, well, it kind of looks a little mock Tumblr, actually. This is not a Comic Press site that I would have guessed it was. But, alrighty. So, you have a comic here. Tell us a little bit about your comic.
Basically, it's a semi-autobiographical. Let me explain the inspiration, otherwise you'll be completely confused by the premise.
Okay.
Well, I was once watching an episode of Lopez Tonight, because I was kind of like trying to seek inspiration on what to do it about, and Ben Kingsley was on there. He was promoting Prince of Persia.
Okay.
And basically they were talking about how, you know, when you're a kid, you know, you dream about doing things, you want to do this or that, and whenever you do something great, you're kind of like looking back to that younger version of yourself, you're saying, you know, hey, I did this for you, you know what I mean? So, sorry. So basically I was thinking, well, I'm wanting to make it in comics, but I'm really out of ideas. So what if I did a comic about the younger me coming to this, like, circa 1999-ish?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Coming up to visit me and to push me along to live my dreams, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So basically, I also realized there were very few comics that appealed to 90s kids. They're, like, very heavy into that, so I also blend that into it as well.
I gotta ask, just because it's relative, do you happen to watch Atop the Fourth Wall?
I'm sorry, could you?
Yeah, do you
watch the Fourth Wall?
Atop the Fourth Wall is a video review series of basically print comics, and it's run by this guy called Linkara. And he does skits in between. Like, if you've ever been to That Guy with the Glasses.com, there's a lot of video reviewers that will do skits in addition to reviewing old stuff. And he has one character that he calls 90s Kid. And he's all like, dude! And he's like going on about all like these really bad 90s things because he's so into the 90s because it's extreme! Sorry, it's just relative to this conversation made me think of it. Anyway, appealing to 90s kids.
It's relevant.
It's relevant. Sorry. Anyway.
Yeah, honestly, I kind of feel like I'm ripping that guy off, but honestly, I've never heard of that.
All right.
Well, you know, nothing new under the sun, that sort of thing. It happens.
Yep, it happens.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's kind of... So you got both of yourselves kind of living together, sort of situation, so it's kind of like I might have gotten laid once, and now the kid that spawned from that has been left on my doorstep. I'm trying to I don't know, that's kind of the thing. That's a stretch.
Yeah,
but
that's not the direction I'm going in. But,
all right, I don't know. I am
basically my inspiration for the younger me isn't so much who I was, but the kid that I wanted to be, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah, kind of like what Kevin Smith did with Randall in Clerks.
Okay.
And it was really like the side of his personality that he wanted to be but really wasn't there. That's kind of what I did with the younger version of me in the comic.
An ideal younger version of yourself. That is not something I've really heard of.
Yeah, you know, the one who's quick to respond, has snappy comebacks, is kind of a jerk. You know, kind of the extreme side of the devil on my shoulder, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, most people have the ideal what I wanted to be in the future. Oh, that's an interesting angle. I haven't heard that before. So,
yeah, it is. And sometimes I wish that. Well, okay, maybe yes and maybe no. I can see where there would be a lot of issues with the younger me also being stupid, you know. But yeah, a little prodding from the dreamer. I get it. Yeah, it's a cool concept.
Yeah, and we're yeah. Also, if I can plug my artist real quick, his name's Stephen Lemoyne. He's really great. He does it for free too.
Wow.
Yeah, he sent a tweet out one day saying he's wanting to get into comics, and I said, well, I want to write comics, but I can't draw to save my life. So, you want to like get together on something, and that's basically how it got started.
Well, already.
Unicorns do exist.
And he's my little unicorn. So am I on the podcast right now?
You are on the podcast right now. That is how things roll here.
I have to plug this.
Yeah. Live, broadcasting live, actually, as well as recording for future release during the week.
Oh, sweet. So I have to plug this write-ins and things like that as well, I guess.
Yep. So, of course, you can check that out at webcomicbeacon.com. And, Lee, thanks very much for coming on the show and telling us about your work. And the best of luck with
that. Sorry, you still there?
Yep, I'm still here.
Oh, okay. If I can do one quick little plug.
Sure.
LPComics.com does have a page on Facebook, because one issue I had was people, since it's not comic press, they don't feel like clicking to go to the first comic.
Mm-hmm.
And I have the full archive up to 2 weeks ago in an album on that site. So if they want to check it out from the beginning, that's where they should go.
Nice.
Alrighty.
Yeah.
Well, of course, it's LPComics.com, right?
That's correct.
All right. Well, you guys can check that out. And Lee, thanks once again for coming on the show, and good luck.
Oh, no problem. Thanks so much.
No problem. See ya.
Yeah. What would your younger you say to you today, Fess?
What the fuck happened? That's what he would say.
Yeah.
Then again, I might go back and beat myself up. Because I was a little douchebag, I think. But,
I don't know. The younger me was a fundamentalist Christian. I imagine she'd have a lot of really interesting things to say. Well, not interesting, but preachy.
Oh, jeez.
I think that, or she'd just pass out.
That'd be an interesting topic, actually, to just to have a discussion. Like, not so much like not like what would you do if you met your old younger self, like what advice you would give them. It's like, what would your younger self say to you?
My younger self would probably be trying to exorcise me of demons right now.
Oh,
there would be chanting involved.
I want to see that in a comic. I want to see that happen. I want to see what would happen. That would be, especially with you, I want to see what would happen, because it's like polar opposites. Holy shit.
Oh, yeah. There's been a few changes. Yeah.
Oh.
I will pontificate on that. We'll see what comes out.
All right. There is Zach Morrison in the chat room who mentioned his comic Paranatural, and if he has a Skype... mention that. Get on Skype if you dare. Let's see here. I'm gonna check the Webcomic Beacon email at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. Webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. Okay. We do have a piece of news. Is T the Third, or however I'm supposed to say his username, mentioned something called the Eagle Awards. The EagleAwards.co.uk is said to be the longest established awards in the comic industry and recognize indie small press creators such as himself, alongside industry giants such as Marvel and DC. And most importantly, these awards are voted on by the public. So as we mentioned in the newscast earlier, a different awards thing. We mentioned how we are on awards, but it's certainly something we're still going to mention. The awards will be presented at the MCM Expo in London in May this year. But I think right now is you can go to their site and take a look at what they got and vote and such. I think on the voting round will start on 14th of March. So I'm going to at least mention this and get that in the show notes so people can check it out for those that are interested in awards shows and such like that. Let's see here. Tanya.
Yes.
We have... we're still good on time. All right. Alex had sent me an email. Actually, I think she sent the Webcomic Beacon group an email.
Okay.
Information on ribbons.
Yes.
For PangoCon. Ribbon info. They cost $3 per line,
and 17 cents a piece.
17 cents a piece, so 17 cents per plus $3 per line. Not sure on the type of ink, but I think I'm gonna get the teal ribbon with foil red ink or whatever on it for the Webcomic Beacon. Not sure what I'll put on it yet,
Did you ever get a clarification on the foil, if foil is different?
No, but I'm pretty sure I'll find out. Otherwise, it may not show up well if I just go teal and red. Because, of course, when I came up with the colors for the webcomic beacon, I had to pick opposite colors, which don't mesh well together at all.
Well, now, doing teal and red, aren't you just kind of saying fuck you to the colorblind?
Well, if it's foil, it can be slightly reflective. Oh, shit, that's right. We did have that one person on the show one time that was colorblind and basically said the whole site looks gray.
Because that's, the actually primary, issue of color with colorblindness is not being able to differentiate between reds and greens. So to put those together, you end up with sort of...
Right, which is why I made cyan, yellow, and I guess a brighter green to be on the site, so you can see gray and bright gray, hopefully. But
it'll be shiny gray and regular gray.
And, there's a new member to the Rampage Network, I just noticed. Actually, you know what? I just
ordering the I'm an honorary eel ribbons that you have to earn by taking a quiz.
All right, earning ribbons.
You have to take a quiz for my ribbon, and you might get smacked actually if you get the quiz wrong. So be on guard, PenguinCon people.
Possibly may not be able to be heard on the Ustream. Sorry about that if that is the case. We do our best, but of course the show does come out in MP3 form later in the week. We do what we can. We do what we must with what we have available. Ustream and Vocal right now trying to be simulcasted to see how it works. And for the most part, most people can listen to us. But, of course, the MP3 does come out, so it's not like you missed it. Like, somebody once thought that was the case, that they would have missed it. And it's like, no, we have an archive. You can go to webcomicbeacon.com and see all of our past 160-plus episodes over the past 3-plus years. We are in year 4 for the Webcomic Beacon, and we're going to go to Skype and see if there's anybody else we can grab for this episode. And it doesn't look like there's anybody left that had... mentioned anything recently. I think we have gone through everybody, actually. So if there's anybody in our Ustream or Vocal chat room that has something to contribute, which it seems we have people listening to us in Vocal. It says there's 6 spectators is what it says. And we only have 10 people, I guess, listening in Ustream right now. And let's see here. What?
What?
I don't know. I'm not sure what else is there to say. I might edit this out a bit. But yeah.
It's just counting readers. Counting listeners.
Well, I'm not sure what to say. I'm kind of stalling for time as I'm going through the email and seeing. We had a lot of people on today, which was really cool. We don't normally get to do this too often because I have been actually pretty good about scheduling topics and shows. And the only time that something like this comes up is like, oh shit, something happened. And it looks like I am able to get one more person on the show.
Woo.
So he disappeared for a while. But we're going to reschedule the Adult Furry webcomic episode for another time. And if there comes to be a scheduling thing again, we're just going to go right ahead and talk about it, because usually if I try and fail too many times with a topic, it doesn't happen again for months or a year, because it just, I have to move on. It becomes especially difficult when trying to schedule somebody. Oh, the person I'm trying.
We really were going to end up with like back-to-back porn then, weren't we? It was Adult Furry webcomics, and then we had the Filthy Figment people on like before. And
well, it wasn't back-to-back, but...
I just wasn't there the weekend in between, so that's why I didn't notice.
So, the Adult Furry webcomics, I'm trying to get the stuff that's just kind of like any other adult human comic. I'm trying to, for this particular show, I'm trying to avoid the outright yiffy stuff, the stuff that's basically you know, because we also haven't just talked about the straight out porn stuff as much as, well, the Filthy Figments a bit as well. But of course, you know, an excuse to talk about more than that. But of course, furry stuff is a little bit more touchy when you get into it. There's potential for misrepresentation.
Completely cut out. I couldn't hear anything.
And such. So I'm trying to put best foot forward. Tanya, are you still with us?
Kind of.
All right, cool. I hear you. And so if anybody has any recommendations on, preferably not behind a paywall, because, you know, that's how we do
unless
the show.
Unless you're going to send us a free link.
Well, it also have to be for our listeners. But also, the rules of the Webcomic Beacon are: we have you on the show. Even if you have a paywall, there has to be substantial free content. Why? Because our listeners have to be able to see what the heck we're talking about. That is, and also webcomics, you know, free. You can see things, and that's kind of the model. The webcomics model is. Though we did talk about somebody, I forget who it was, Akewood. Is now all behind a paywall now, and it's like, what? And they might have the audience big enough to be able to pull that off, of course, but you can't really start like that. But of course, when you have adult content, you typically can get away with being behind a paywall, but it is good to have. Okay. I might have just been...
Hello?
Hi. I thought I was disconnected. So, sorry. So, anyway, I've gone into the diatribe before of there has to be free substantial free content available. And I kind of want to talk with the Dark Brain Comics people. They do the voice acting and the music and the narration.
Ooh.
It's not moving. It's not like moving comics because they have, you know, panels will appear and speech balloons will appear, so it's not the same thing. I'm a little unsure because the last time we had a company on, it kind of turned into an infomercial.
Yeah.
And I don't want that to happen. See, it's different with the Filthy Figments girls because, you know, we've known them, we've had them on before, and I know that we can talk about like a lot of different stuff. And there is substantial free content. And there's substantial free content on Dark Brain Comics, of course. I don't want to worry about it just being a commercial. I have no idea. And I probably should just try to get them on and just see what happens. Try to get them into my schedule. I do have a lot of potential... topics kind of lined up. I got this spreadsheet on Google Docs, which tells me.
I think Ustream crashed.
Did it? Oh wait.
Yeah.
Okay, started back up Ustream. So hopefully they can hear us. Not you didn't miss anything.
No.
Other than we were talking about Dark Brain Comics. And how I probably should get them on. I got a Google document, a spreadsheet that basically has the next few months all the way up to June listed. And some ideas that I'm going to try to go ahead and do. And then there's people that I should try to get available. Some things I got coming down. I want to have Melissa back on the show to talk about comic lettering. And I want to talk about Second Life web comics, which would be like Machinima Comics, though... I might be able to just turn it into Machinima Comics if I can try to get a couple other people on that make webcomics out of video games, basically. And there's this one girl that does a comic through Second Life, which is, you know, kind of like an MMO sort of thing. Sort of. I'm not... It's odd.
Can you call that an MMO?
It's really? A massively multiplayer online thing. So MMO is all I'm saying. Because it is massively multiplayer online.
I don't player, I guess, comes across as odd to me because there's no real goal. Like, what are you playing?
Well, apparently she's using this and with her friends and I guess herself and other accounts to make a comic. So, and that's awesome. And apparently there's a couple more Second Life comics out there. Because I was wondering if it was just like using Poser or something like that again. Because it's, you know, CG and it's not. It's like wow, I never thought. I mean, I know there's people that do like World of Warcraft and such like that, and videos for that. And
I thought it would be interesting to do kind of a live, quote unquote, live plays of a comic, like where you just had different characters in Second Life act out a comic.
In like video?
No, just like at a certain time, just for other Second Life people. You show up and you get to see, like...
Yeah, that's called role-playing. That happens. That happens.
No, like an actual comic, though.
Oh, in...
No. No, never mind. No, in Second Life. Have the characters in Second Life do act out comics that you've already written.
Well, she's... Like, she's having... Her
she's
and
doing
her,
it the other way around.
Well, she's making a script, and her and her friends are acting out the comic... So she can take screen caps and make a comic out of that.
I got you. But the comic doesn't exist elsewhere except from the screen caps from Second Life. Yes? Yes. No. We're good. Good. Sounds interesting.
All right. What? Anyway, moving on. Okay. And of course, I'm trying to do a show on transgender webcomics or trans-issue webcomics, as I had been corrected, I suppose. And, yeah. And I got... if anybody reads The Princess or Trans Girl Diaries or Lobster Tales, I'm planning to have all three of them on the show, and they have three very different approaches at different types of webcomics. So I'm hoping it'll be a really interesting conversation because, you know, it's one's kind of a journal comic and one's just a comic about a kid. Who's dealing with that and other sort of, so it's a little bit more like what you would expect for like a comic versus a journal comic, which mm-hmm. And then the other one is just a sort of like assorted sort of chaotic kind of anything almost, and so like three very different styles, and I'm hoping, you know, I gotta get them all on at once. And it looks to be interesting. I'm also looking to get some people from Activate on. Which is kind of like a collective, and they cycle through what sort of stuff they did. The ape panels for primates is something that they've been doing fairly recently. I think we mentioned that on the newscast once. I got to make sure that we're not running out of recording room. Of course, there we are. The person that we were trying to get on couldn't seem to find his headset, so we might not be able to have him on. But I will drop his name anyway. He does a webcomic called Gin and Comics. Gin as in, woohoo, drink. GinandComics.com. Since he was trying to be on, I'll at least plug him. And thanks for listening. Thanks for trying. And, of course, I thank to everybody that was listening in our Ustream chat room. And, of course, testing out Vocal. You got problems, let us know. Let them know. They're still in beta. They're still working on the bugs. And I am willing to try and help make sure that this works, because I really like the interface with it.
I got the blue screen of death for the first time in years when I joined today. When I tried to join the event.
Did you also have Ustream open?
No.
Weird. I have no idea.
No, I was like, join the event. There's like, blue screen, restart. Wow. It was exciting.
Maybe because you were on Skype. I know Skype will sometimes... not cooperate with some other programs, which
it's cranky. It's an only child.
Yeah, I mean, if you have it does something with your computer. Like if anybody has used WAMP, which is basically a program where you can make a virtual server on your computer, so you can essentially make a WordPress and do all the stuff you can do offline on your own computer, and this is immensely helpful if you're trying to design a website. With WordPress, you know, using that code, because that code utilizes server functions, which you typically have to be online in order to edit and see update and happen and it for it to behave. So, but you can't run it if Skype is on. So Skype is doing something. That would prevent your computer making a virtual server, which could affect like other sort of programs. Of course, I'm not having any trouble with this, though I assume that Vocal sometimes just kills itself. I'm not sure why or when. I don't know. They're still in beta.
It's depressive. It's manic.
There was somebody that was on Vocal that tried to do a video question. I'm sorry I did not get to you. I don't see the question there anymore. I also want to. Adam Smithy thinks I'm putting him in charge of trying to put together a Sprite comic episode, since he used to do a Sprite comic and he knows people. So,
I like the way you said it. He knows people. You can sound connected.
I'm also just for the next few months. These are some ideas I got. I want to have a show on the Bechdel-Wallace test, which could be a good conversation to have. I'm going to try to get Jules on for that. Journal Comics.
I don't even know what that is.
Jules Rivera. Oh, no, the Bechdel-Wallace test?
Yeah.
It's also known as the Bechdel test, but it's the... it's based off of a comic strip of Dykes to Watch Out For. I think I got the title right. And the rule... There's a rule that's presented that's a test. One of the girls in the comic would only see a movie if A, there are two women in it, that B, talk to each other, C, about something other than the man.
Wow.
Aliens was the only one that passed the test in that comic, as far as what was concerned. I'm sure that can be found otherwise. But it's also been stated that basically in arts, in film school, they teach you to basically fail that test on purpose, essentially. Really? Because I guess that's what the audience, quote unquote, wants or whatever. But there's a whole discussion there to be had with that, and we'll save it for that because there's a lot of stuff that can go on with that. Journal Comics. I want to try to get some people on to talk about Journal Comics. That's something we've not covered yet.
Yeah.
The beginning of web comics. Lem of Blanket was there from the beginning, and I live with the dude. And so I'm going to see if I can try to get him on and we can talk about stuff, and maybe he knows people that we can try to get on and talk about the advent of webcomics. I don't think we've really talked about that, and we can get people on that were there. That would be really, really cool. I think that's it for the Webcomic Beacon this week, episode 100. And I got the hiccups here. Excuse me.
You know, you can die of those hiccups.
Yeah, I know.
That happened for a really long time. I can't imagine how much that must suck.
It's really bad if you're sick and you have to utilize the porcelain throne and you have hiccups. It is the worst.
Do you suck it back in your nose? I bet you do.
No, not the nose. It's just like you're rocking something back and forth violently in your throat and it hurts.
Oh, do not want.
It's like if you ever like swallow like a bubble of air in your milk or something like that. That's what it feels like. That's what it feels like, but I would say it's twice as worse.
I hate that. Because it feels like there's like an apple lodged in your rib cage somewhere.
Like
it's horrible.
Like your neck is going to pop or something. Anyway, this has been delightful commentary on the Webcomic Beacon at webcomicbeacon.com. That is all for this week. And of course, you can join us in next week for the newscast and a yet to be determined topic. I'm going to try to get some
other stuff.
Or some other stuff, yes. And you can check us out at webcomicbeacon.com. I've been Fess of TooManyThingsToList.com.
And this is Tanya of the Webcomic Beacon.
See you all next week.
Tune in for more at webcomicbeacon.com.
Did you hear her house got burned down?
I didn't know. I saw the cake. I thought it was a joke. I didn't know her house really burned down. No.